Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do to me. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased.
I encourage you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll be looking at some of the thoughts in these verses this morning. Basing our lesson on verse 16, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. As Christians, we understand that our life is to be one that's pleasing to God, and in order to please God, it involves a number of things. To become a child of God, we certainly, in pleasing him, we would believe that he is the God, the only true and living God. And he gave his son gave his life on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. And that we believe that God's word in his instructions, telling us to render obedience to the gospel in baptism, that we would repent of our sins and confess Christ and be baptized, that we might have remission of our sins. Under the law of Christ, we have the grace of God. Under the law of Moses, there was the daily activities of the priest and the things the people had to do to bring to the priest in order to offer up sacrifices to God. And the book of Hebrews is a letter that has been studied here in recent months in a class. We understand that it's teaching that the old law had its place, it had its part. The priest and high priest had their places under the law of Moses, but when Christ came and died on the cross, he fulfilled all of that. He'd taken it out of the way and put into effect then the law of Christ, the gospel, the good news that God has now bestowed grace and mercy on us, and that we ourselves are priests in the kingdom of God. We are his children. And so in writing the letter to the Hebrews, there's the contrast between the old law and the new, and the encouragement then to Christians and the exhortation to do that which is good, that which is right, in keeping the commands that are found under the law of Christ. Although the old law is there to bring us to Christ, it is a schoolmaster that brought us to Christ, and in its time it served its purpose. But then when Christ came, he fulfilled the law, and so now as Christians in the family of God, we're to serve him. And part of that is talked about there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share. The Christian life is a good life. It is one that you and I are to live in pleasing God, and doing that, we're to do a lot of good things. These are required of us. And so we don't need to forget to do good, because there are both good things and bad things in life that people may partake of. We need to make the choice that we're going to put away those bad things and let the good things that are talked about in the Bible and the good actions that we learn from God's will that we apply to our lives would be the things that we engage in, so that we could do good not only in serving God ourselves, but to do good to others in bringing them to Christ, and to do good to others in helping them spiritually and physically. So then again, Hebrews 13 and verse 16, there's the emphasis placed that we don't need to neglect to do good. So it is possible that as a Christian, we may fail to do the good things that God asks us to do or God requires of us. So we don't need to be neglectful in that. We don't need to be tardy in living up to what God would have us to do. We don't need to be engaging in things that are of not a good nature, but the things that are good. Let's talk about some good things to do in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 1, one of the things that's good that we need to do as Christians is to let brotherly love continue. The love that we have for brethren is very important. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, they are our brothers and sisters in the family of God. We belong to God. He is our Father. And so Christ, the church belongs to Christ. So we are brethren. We are sisters in Christ. And so our love needs to be a continuous thing. And not understanding that there are times when there may be some things that we may fail to agree on to a certain extent, or there may be some things we need to work through, but the love that we have for one another is one of forgiveness. The love we have for one another is one of being able to go to the brother or sister if there's a fault between us and express to them that fault. The love that we have for one another is that if I do wrong, that you'd come to me out of love and tell me and warn me and exhort me to make corrections in my life. So letting brotherly love continue is very important. Romans 12:10 talks about the fact that love is to be there for the brethren. We're to love one another in Christ. 2 Peter 1 and verse 7, when Peter talks about the Christian graces, one of the things that's added to our life is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and brotherly kindness, and then love. So brotherly kindness is important. The love then is a part of a Christian whose life is maturing. My life and your life is to grow every day. And to do that then, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, we see that we need to let brotherly love continue. We understand that in the church, in past history dictates the fact that brethren have had issues, there have been problems, and some of those have been justified because there were people who would not stand for the truth. They wanted to go out and do things that the Bible did not authorize. So there was trouble among brethren. And those who stood for the truth were faced with trouble from those who were agitators who wanted to back away from the truth or go beyond the truth and transgress what God asked. So there may be issues, but when there is, there's still that love between brethren that we always want to encourage those who may be in error to try to come to the correction of their ways, to be mindful of the right way to go and the right thing to do, and would come out of their erroneous ways and practice the doctrine of Christ and obey the truth. Brotherly love is important then, and so it's something that needs to be continued. And in that aspect of verse 1, let brotherly love continue, this is something that we don't just do something one day and the next day we think, well, you know, I showed love to my brother or sister in Christ yesterday or last week, so I don't have to worry about it this week. It's something that's a continuing thing, because God's love for us is bestowed upon us all the time, 24/7. And the love that Christ has for us is bestowed upon us 24/7. So our love for our brethren and sisters in Christ ought to be that we're always there and open to be mindful of their spiritual needs or their physical needs, their material needs, that we would approach it with love, the attitude of having the right care for one another. In verse 2, another good thing that we need to be involved in is that we do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. So loving our brethren and sisters is one thing, but then to be able to be hospitable those in the church and even those to whom we may not know as well. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. That's a good thing to do. Matter of fact, when we think about Romans 12 and verse 13, we're to be hospitable to one another. We're to do it without complaining. We're to be hospitable without being a complainer. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. And we see that certainly as we think about the things concerning our hospitality toward others, he says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Some versions use the word complaining. So a good thing for us to learn in our life is that we would be showing hospitality or be hospitable to others. That's one thing that a man who's going to serve as an elder, he would be such in his marriage with his wife that that he would be the type of man that someone could approach, and that he would be able to show hospitality to those people in engaging in conversation with them, or even into asking them into their home to talk about things. Hospitality then goes further than just elders and elders' wives. It goes to you and I as Christians, that we'd not neglect to show hospitality to other people. Again, then we see another good thing in Hebrews 13 is in verse 3, to remember the prisoners and those who are mistreated. He says there that as the writer talks about the time that the early days of the gospel, the early days of the church, there were those who were prisoners because of the gospel. There were those who were suffering because of the gospel. As Alan expressed in the class this morning on Philemon, here was the Apostle Paul. What was he at this point when the letter was written to Philemon and also to Colossae and to Ephesus? He was in prison. He was a prisoner. And so Paul expressed need for brethren to send things or someone to come and visit him, to bring a cloak to me, to bring these things to me. They remembered Paul in his imprisonment, and he was aware of others who also suffered. And so we may not be in a literal prison today as a Christian, and thankfully we're not, and hopefully we will not be, but to remember the prisoners and those who are mistreated. There are people today who are being mistreated on the job or in society or around the world because they are Christians. Not just mistreated, but in many cases, if they can be sought out and separated and found among them, among the numbers, they'd be beheaded. Their life would be taken. So he says, remember the prisoners. Remember those who are mistreated. We need to be mindful of those and pray for those and help those who may be suffering because they are Christians. Some people suffer because they're a Christian and their family's against them. Some people suffer because they're Christians and their friends are against them and they bring trouble to them. That happens sometimes. But a good thing to do is to remember those who may suffer, those who are prisoners. Matter of fact, in Matthew 25 verse 36, when Jesus talks about the judgment of the nations, there in Matthew 25 verses 31 through 46, he says, and the nations will be gathered before the Son of Man when he comes to judge the nations, and all will be judged. And in that judgment, there'll be those who he's going to say, blessed, you know, come unto me, come to the Father, because you've obeyed and done the things I've asked you to do. But in verse 36, one of those things that was done to people that was also done to the Lord because they were done to those people is that you visited me in prison. I was cold, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and what? And you visited me. So when the Hebrew writer talks about remembering the prisoners and those who are mistreated, if we do good to those who are suffering, we're doing it not only to them, but we're doing it to the Lord, because it's expected of us as Christians. The verse 4 then, of Hebrews chapter 13, we see that a very good thing to do is that to keep our marriage be held honorable. Honorable is marriage is honorable in the sight of the Lord, but marriage is to be kept honorable among who? Among all people. And so, as Christians, we certainly understand it's one man and one woman for life, that there's things that can sever a marriage and wrongdoing, and we need to keep ourselves pure and clean and honest and faithful so that we serve God and serve our mate and we're faithful for life. But marriage then is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. Marriage is something that is honorable because it's instituted by God. God instituted the marriage in the very beginning with man and woman, and Jesus talked about the sanctity of marriage and the importance of that union, Matthew 19, 1 through 9. Let's turn back there and just read those verses briefly, considering what Jesus said when he was teaching concerning those who would be caught up in sins of the flesh and break a marriage vow. He says that it's important that the marriage be true and the man and woman be true to each other and faithful, and that marriage be held in honor among all because it's an honorable thing, and don't let the marriage bed be undefiled. Be faithful to your partner. Be faithful to your husband or to your wife. Matthew 19 verse 1, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And some versions say, for any cause or for every cause. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, he says in verse 6, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, or let no man separate. And so we understand then that they had another question to Jesus concerning this sanctity of marriage. In verse 7, they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And so he says, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, some versions say except for fornication, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So when we see that a good thing to do is to keep marriage honorable and the marriage bed undefiled, we understand that we need to do that because it's the right thing to do, it's the good thing to do, and it's the only way to keep a marriage sanctified in the sight of God, and for a man and woman to be loyal and true to one another. That's the way marriage intended, God intended marriage to be. So for it to do that, one good thing that we can do as husbands and wives, as people going forward who may have not yet engaged in the marriage vows and will do that in the future, is to understand that it's to be honorable, and that is that a man and woman must have the right to marry in the sight of God, and when they are married, they become one flesh and they're to be true to one another until death. So verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 13 tells us something else. He says, a good thing for you and I to do is that we make sure that our character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. There's nothing wrong with having money. All of us like to have a little money to spend for some groceries, to have an automobile so we don't have to walk, to have a roof over our head and electricity in the phone bill. Money is one of the essential things of life, or at least the ability to have things to trade with, some kind of possessions we can use to get something equivalent of what it's worth that we need. We may trade, something of value for something to eat of equal value. But monetary things, a good thing to do is keep your character free from the love of money. It's the love of money that gets us into trouble. It's like lust gets us into trouble, and when it's conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin when it's finished, it brings forth death. Money is okay in itself, but when we begin to love it more than we do God or the right thing, and we begin to lust after it and get involved in it, and it causes us to do things or say things that we ought not to do, or we get involved in it so closely that it's all our goal is to have more and more money, then we get into trouble. He says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, along with this, Paul said, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. and by some longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So make sure that our character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, understanding that some may have more than others, some may have more income than others, but if we earn it and it's ours, we can spend it in the way that we please, as long as it's spent on things that are okay in the sight of God. But we need to make sure that the good thing we're doing is that we're free from the love of money. Our character is free from that. That we'd not be people who'd go out here and give in to solicitation by someone who would offer us money to do something that's not right. Or we wouldn't let money be something that we'd go after and try to get it dishonestly. And so the idea that making sure our character is free from the love of money. Verse 7 then, in Hebrews chapter 13, we go back there and we see that certainly when we think about doing good, one good thing to do is remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Let's look at that verse 7. I just read in Hebrews chapter 13. Well, as he's reading and talking about some things that directions for Christians, directions for those in the kingdom of Christ, good directions of morality, things that are of good morals, things that are of good nature, things that are right in the sight of God, is that we think about those who rule over you, and in this sense he says, those who have spoken the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Hebrews chapter 11, it's a chapter that talks about great people of faith. And it goes back and talks about Noah and Abraham and many others down through the years who by faith, they did certain things. By faith, they went into a strange country. By faith, some of them offered up their child. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. By faith, they served God. And so, there are those who went before us in the Bible that are men and women of faith that we can look to as a good example, to follow, such as Moses, and the example we talked about last Sunday morning of Lois and Eunice, the grandparents, the grandmother and the mother and grandmother of Timothy, the fact that they were before Timothy and he should let their faith also be in him, that they would reflect on him as faithful people. So we need to remember those who are going on before us, those who are older than us, those with whom there is faith, they who may have taught us the truth, who have taught us the Word of God, and respect their life and what they've done. And many of those may have only, perhaps they've taught us by their example. Maybe they never taught us verbally. But by their example, they, as older Christians, they did things that we'll never forget. As mentioned here from time to time in the Bible class of those who attended faithfully, those who were very knowledgeable in the Bible, you have memory of that. We remember those. But the writer says then, it's good to remember those who led you, those who would lead you spiritually, those who have taught you in the Word of God, and think about what it did for them, the faith they kept, the life they lived all the way to the end, and think about their conduct and let it be an influence on you and me. That we too then would keep the faith. That we too would also be a good example to others. So it's a good thing to look to those who've left a good example and follow in their footsteps to try to set a good example ourselves. Again in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, another good thing is important for us to do is to not be carried away by varied or strange doctrines or teachings. And the reason is, he says, is for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. Don't be carried away by varied and strange teachings. In the church, you and I have been baptized into Christ, and we've been taught the truth. We've studied the Bible. We've read the Bible. We sit in Bible classes. We read it for ourselves. As Alan suggested Wednesday night that we would read Philemon at least three times before this Sunday morning because we're going to be studying right out of the Bible. It's good to read the Bible and understand what's in the writing. It's on to understand the text and what it applies to and keep the subject matter intact and let it apply as it is so that we're not carried away by every wind of doctrine. so that we're not carried away by someone who comes up and says, "Hey, I've got an idea. Why don't we have bologna and crackers for the Lord's Supper Sunday instead of bread and fruit of the vine?" We don't need to be carried away with such things as that. And those who would have an idea and say, "I've got an idea, why don't we bring a big band in and we can fill this building, and in a year we'll be building on and we'll have 1,000 people here." Well, it would probably work. But it's not the right thing to do. We don't need to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Someone has the idea to say, "Well, you know, why don't we just throw out the rules on marriage and morality, and if people want to go out and gamble and they want to go out and do things at night and dance and party and have a big time and drink and carouse and do what they want to do, and if they want to live in an adulterous situation, then welcome them on in and don't say anything, and what it's going to do is going to fill the building and the next building we build." But see, it may be an ideal that would bring mobs and crews in, but it's not the right thing to do. But people today are and have been, and it seems, as the Bible speaks, will continue to be to a certain extent, carried away by what? By varied and strange teachings. Varied and strange teachings. Things that are not in compliance with the Word of God. If it's not of God, it would be a strange teaching. If it's not found in the Bible, it would be a teaching that varies from the Word of God. So we need to be in doing the good and right thing to make sure we know what's in the Scriptures and apply them to ourselves and help share them with each other so that we might not be carried away with doctrines or varied teachings that we don't need to be involved in. Verse 15, then he says, "Through him then let us continually..." What we need to do is this good thing, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. We need to be prayerful people. We need to pray daily. We need to pray regularly. We need to pray consistently. We need to be of a prayerful mind. The fruit of our lips in prayer, praying to God. You can pray. I can pray. We can pray daily. We can pray in the night. We can pray during the daylight hours. We can pray in our home. We can pray in varied places. We need to do that. One good thing to do is to offer up the sacrifice of our lips, thanking God for what He's done for us, asking God to bless those people we know that have needs, to pray for the sick, the lost, the erring, the bereaved, all those type of things. We need to offer that up. We need to pray to God. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God by Him." So it'd be a good thing for me to pray. It's a good thing for you to pray. Are we failing in doing that good thing? We need to be careful so that we're doing the thing that's good. Well, another good thing to do, we got about two more points, I believe, and then we'll get into the conclusion of the lesson. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 13, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Sharing and doing good. We've already hit on this some already this morning about Matthew 25, the judgment of helping those that need things physically. And we've already hit on helping those spiritually. But do not neglect doing good and sharing with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Two aspects. We go to Galatians chapter 1 to begin with, chapter 6 and verse 1 to begin with, concerning helping and sharing with those who may be overtaken in a fault to help bring them back to Christ. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, consider your own self, lest you also be tempted." We need to bring them back. Restore that person back. If a man be overtaken in a fault, restore such a one the spirit of meekness. So the idea is that we don't need to neglect to do good to bring people back and do good to them who have fallen away. But in the same sense, we need to do good to those, as we mentioned earlier, like visiting the sick, visiting the poor, visiting those in prison. As Jesus mentioned in Matthew 25, and we had a few verses earlier, Galatians 6 and verse 10, "Therefore do good unto all men." Let us do good unto all men. Do what? Especially to those who are the household of faith. So it'd be a good thing for you and I not to neglect doing good and not to neglect sharing. We can share with other people the Word of God. We can share with other people the encouragement that comes from being a Christian and being in the family of God and being in the church. We can share those things. We can also share spiritually, physically, or financially with those widows indeed or those saints who need help, that are needy saints. We can do that also. And when it can also help those who might be our neighbor that's outside, that wouldn't be a needy saint or wouldn't need when we're able to help them. Don't forget to share and do good. Verse 17, another good thing we need to keep in mind is to obey our leaders. We talked about those who went before us in the church, those who taught us in the faith. Now obey your leaders and submit to them, for they watch for your souls and those who will give an account. Those in the church should have the oversight of godly men who are qualified to serve as elders, to oversee the flock, to protect our souls, to feed us spiritual things, to guard the truth, and to be able then to minister as shepherds over the flock. We need to respect those who would be able to hold that slot as far as being able to serve as an elder, and respect them for who they are. Their fathers in the faith and those who watch for our souls, they'll give an account for what they do, and they're gonna watch for our souls. So a good thing we can do then is to be cooperative with the elders as long as they are serving God and obeying Him and they're faithful, to submit to them in their leadership, support them in their leadership, and help them that they'd be good guardians of our souls, that we would help to make their job easier by being guarding of our own soul and being faithful. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Well, why is all these things important? There are some reasons. Hebrews chapter 13, he didn't just say do these things because they're good. Don't do these things and share. But he gives us reasons then to do these things. Verse 8, one reason to do these things is because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We live within the family of God. We are under the gospel of Christ. Christ is our Savior. He's the head of the church. We're in the church. We're in the family of God. So Jesus, the Son of God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was there in the beginning. He's eternal. Genesis 1 and verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. He is eternal. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. He was there. Not anything that was made that was not made by and through Him. The Word, the Jesus, the Son of God, He's eternal. He's always been. And so the reason to do good things is because Jesus, who is eternal, came as a man and gave His physical life for us and shed His blood that we might have forgiveness, that we might have eternal life. A reason to do good then is because Jesus, who did that, is eternal, and He's the one that's coming to judge us in the last day. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. So this Savior that's eternal, He came as a man, He died as a man, He shed His blood for us, having committed no sin. He is our Savior. He's the head of the church for us. The reason to do good then is He's coming back to judge us by the word that He left behind for the men to write. And He's the one that's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, or come, ye blessed of my Father, and the joy of the Lord. We need to be pleasing the Lord. That's the reason to do it, because of who Jesus is and what He's done. We need to do these good things we've talked about this morning, because verses 10 through 13, we have an altar. Jesus, the Son of God, who died for our sins. It wasn't an altar of the high priest, the old law of Moses that offered up the blood of bulls and goats that could never take away sin. But a reason to do good today is because Jesus, we have that altar of Jesus who shed that precious blood for all people. Once and for all He did it. It doesn't have to be done yearly or daily or year after year continually, but He did it once for all, and all who will come to Him. The reason to do good is because we have that altar of Jesus who did it for us one time. Shed and gave His precious life, shed His blood and died for us. That's a reason to do good. Thirdly, in verse 14, another reason for us to do these good things is because here on this earth, we have no continuing city. But we are looking for a city, heaven, that is to come, a city which has foundations. These are three good reasons for us to do the things that He says are good to do, that we've already discussed in our lesson this morning. Well, why are we able to do these things? You might say, well, those are good things to do, and these are reasons why we should do them, but how am I going to be able to do that? Why are you able to do these things? Why will I be able to do these good things? Well, the Bible tells us why. Verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And I failed to capitalize Christ on that PowerPoint, and I apologize. But do you see what Hebrews 13 is saying? Here's the good things to do. This is why you need to do it. And this is why you're going to be able to do it. Because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We can do it. We can do good things. Well, Hebrews 13 has a lot of good things it talks about. I need to be a good person. You need to be a good person. We've hit on some of those things we need to be doing. The important thing for you and I is that we look at those good things. We do those good things. We keep those good things on our mind. And we continue in them, doing good, that we may please God. Because one day, we'll be in heaven if we do that. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, why don't you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you do believe that, be willing to confess that He is the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized. And He'll add you to the church, having washed your sins away. And you can leave this building forgiven. If you're here this morning and maybe you're a Christian, there's something in your life that you have failed to do that was good that you should have been doing, that you know you should have done, that you need to correct in a public way. If you're subject to the invitation, please respond while Peter leads us in the invitation song.